You're getting another beer in the kitchen and watching two badly dressed sophomores try not to be too obvious about the fact that they're staring at you when the cops show up outside Madison Campbell's house. Uh-oh, Jay says when he spies them. You follow his gaze through the living room window where, sure enough, two cruisers are gliding to the curb with their lights flashing, silent as sharks. Friends are here. Right away, he heads down the stairs to the basement, motioning for you to follow without actually waiting to see if you do. Boyfriend or not, you guess you can't really blame him. After all, it's not like you get in trouble anymore. Everybody down, Nicole calls from the hallway, flicking the kitchen lights off so you're plunged into darkness, save the glow of the water dispenser on the front of the stainless steel fridge. Nicole's parents are both law professors an hour away from here at Cornell, and firm believers in the importance of exercising one's constitutional rights. Never, never open up the door to the police unless they have a warrant, you've heard them say over a number of bagel breakfasts at Nicole's kitchen table, same as other parents would remind you to make sure to be home by curfew. Somebody get the rest of the lights. Are you serious? A panicky-looking freshman asks as everyone dashes for cover, into bedrooms and under coffee tables, inside the immaculately organized pantry. You're not going to let them in? Do you want to go to jail? Nicole snaps, which seems a little bit dramatic. Turn off the music. They'll be gone in a minute. You're not entirely sure about that, actually, but before you can register your concerns, the bell is ringing. The police are knocking hard and insistent on the front door, glowing flashlights visible through the frosted glass. The combination of noise and sound sets something off in you, a cold animal panic. Suddenly, it feels very important to hide. You scurry up the short flight of stairs off the foyer and through the closet door, shutting it firmly behind you, before turning around and realizing that A, it's a bathroom, and B, Wolf Goshen is sitting at the edge of the tub in the dark. Hi, he says. You say, fuck. Hi. Sorry, Wolf says, standing up and wiping his hands on his jeans. I can get out of here if you have to. I mean, everybody was just yelling to hide and stuff. I kind of panicked. No, I don't need to. You exhale, heart pounding with a savage ferocity wholly disproportionate to the seriousness of the situation. That happens to you sometimes now. The cops are still ringing the doorbell. I mean, that's why I'm here too. Oh, Wolf nods, shoving his hands into his pockets. Okay. You look at each other for a moment. You breathe. Wolf has been in your class since kindergarten, but you've never actually talked to him before. He only ever comes for half the year because of some arcane agricultural law that lets him be homeschooled for the fall semester so he can help his parents at their farm, 30 miles outside Ithaca. One of the last working family-owned operations in the entire state of New York. Every autumn, you forget about him, and every January, he shows up at school again, blinking and dazed like he's spent the last 6 months wandering dumbly through a cornfield. You've never seen him at a party before in your life. I came with my cousin, he explains, like he can see you wondering, as if he thinks you're gonna ask to see his pass. You think he might be afraid of you. He'd probably be afraid of you if you were Wolf. You know Jared. He dates Madison now, so I came with him. You nod, not particularly caring. God, this whole night sucks. You're about to make an excuse and get the hell out of here, but before you can come up with something plausible, the beam of a flashlight shines directly through the bathroom window. And like an instinct, you're grabbing Wolf's arm and jerking roughly, pulling him back into the shadows beside the tub. Sorry, you say once the light has moved away again. Close call. It's okay, Wolf sits back down on the edge of the bathtub. When you were little kids, he was notorious for falling asleep at his desk every day during free read. His fingernails were always too long. You remember not wanting to get stuck next to him in line or at lunchtime or in the Star Lab, that traveling planetarium that came to school every year, all of you crawling into a big inflatable tent in the middle of the gym to look up at the constellations. Don't be giving that boy a hard time, Haley. Your mom scolded when you came home and complained about it. You were already popular back in elementary school, and she was worried it was going to turn you mean. He's got enough trouble without you piling on. It occurs to you, all of a sudden, that you never actually asked her what that meant. The police are still banging on the front door, insistent. Madison Campbell, a man's voice calls, authoritative. I know your parents, Madison, and they're gonna want you to open the door now. Madison's parents are in Harrisburg, dealing with some kind of disciplinary train wreck at her brother's boarding school. For a second, you feel kind of bad for them. This happened a lot? Wolf asks. You sit down on the lid of the toilet seat. Sometimes, you allow. They'll be gone in a minute. In fact, you're not at all as confident as you sound. You've waited out the police in this very house before, plus once at Amber Dooley's and another time, memorably, while fooling around in a coat closet with Jay at Nicole's. Normally, the partiers lay low, the police get bored or tired or hungry, and eventually they go away. But this feels different. The last week of summer, two juniors drank a 12-pack of Budweiser and killed almost a whole fucking family at the intersection down by the Walmart. And now it's like the whole town thinks everybody else is breathtakingly stupid enough to do what they did. It occurs to you, as you listen to the incessant banging on the front door of the house, that the McCormack County Sheriff's Department might be looking to make a point. Well, you think, pulling your legs up on the toilet seat and wrapping your arms around your knees. Let them make it, if that helps them. Wolf is glancing at you across the bathroom, seemingly unconcerned about this scrum of law enforcement out on the front lawn. It's his first party, after all. You guess it's not like he's got anything to compare it to. Should have brought snacks, he says, sliding off the lip of the bathtub and making himself comfortable on the tile floor, crossing his legs at the ankles. And before you can respond either way, he grins. You remember how Mrs. Hollander used to give out atomic fireballs during tests? That surprises you. Mrs. Hollander taught fourth grade. Uh-huh. I was obsessed with those things, Wolf says. Every day I used to ask her if we could have them. Like, I used to get so excited for tests just so I could cram a bunch of fireballs into my mouth and chow down. And finally one day she kept me after the last bell. And I thought I was in trouble, but it turned out she'd been at the dollar store and gotten this giant tub of fireballs just for me. She told me I was going to make myself sick. But, of course, I walked outside and ate like 100 of them all at once. Burned all my taste buds off. And that wasn't even the worst of it. Anyway, that was the end of me and fireballs. He shuts up abruptly then, shrugging his shoulders. I'm rambling. It's okay, you say. You kind of liked listening to him, actually. Nobody has talked to you about something as stupid as atomic fireballs in months. I don't mind. Just then your phone buzzes with a text from Nicole. Where are you? She wants to know. The question followed by a long row of screaming emojis. Upstairs bathroom, you text back. WTF are you doing up there? We're all in the basement, come down now. You look at the screen for a moment, then back at Wolf. You don't know if you've ever actually bothered to look at him before. Like in your head, he was a walking sentient wheat stalk. That's not the impression you get now at all. His clothes are clean, if a little bit trashy. Light washed jeans and a faded t-shirt with the Ghostbusters logo on it, plus a pair of knockoff Timberland boots. His eyes are bright and intelligent and sharp. He could do okay, you think, in a place like New York City or California, where the past doesn't cling like the smell of dirty laundry. Unfortunately for him, this is a suburb of Syracuse. People have long memories here. You turn your phone over so the screen is facing down, tucking it underneath you on the toilet seat. How's your senior year going so far? You ask him, then immediately feel like an idiot, remembering that he hasn't even set foot in school yet this year. I mean, such as it is. Wolf's mouth twists at that, not quite a smile. I can't complain, I guess. He tilts his head to the side, looking up at you. How's yours? Good, you chirp like a reflex, which is, of course, a giant lie, and not even a good one, and you're thinking that of course Wolf knows that, until the moment that it suddenly occurs to you that he might not. After all, who can say what the hell news makes its way out to the Goshen family farm during harvest season? It might as well be medieval times over there. The idea of him not knowing makes him oddly compelling to you. Like, here's the one person in all of New York State to whom you're exactly the same as you used to be. You want to keep up the facade. I'm applying to schools, mostly. Are you? You start. Then break off, but there's nowhere to go but forward. Applying to schools? Wolf smirks at that. No, Haley, he says quietly. I am not applying to schools. Something about the way he says your name makes your stomach do a strange flip. You've never heard him say it before. You look down at your hands in your lap, at your manicure. You and Nicole went to the nail place this afternoon. She's been your best friend since 9th grade, which doesn't mean she probably doesn't talk about you when you get up and leave the room, just like everyone else does. It's entirely possible she's talking about you right now. Wolf reaches up and picks a fat candle off the side of the bathtub, probably pumpkin or cinnamon bun or something equally disgusting, and roots around in his pocket until he comes up with a book of matches. There, he says, lighting it and setting it back on the side of the tub. Is that a good idea? You ask, motioning to the window. They can't see it, Wolf says, and for some reason you believe him. He looks oddly handsome in the flicker of the candlelight, all sharp cheekbones and serious expression. Nicole will die if you tell her that. You might not tell Nicole anything about this at all. This is a really ugly bathroom, you observe instead of thinking about it, looking around at the faux Mexican tile and brightly painted sink, the sunken bathtub that looks like its sole purpose was orgies in the 1970s. Above the toilet is a framed stock photo of a baby wearing a shower cap and holding a rubber duck. I never really stopped to notice it before. Oh, I don't know, Wolf says, peering around. I could sit in here all day, personally. Have a bubble bath, read a romance novel. You laugh at that, surprisingly. You didn't expect Wolf Goshen to be funny. Like, maybe he's from some place where laughter is forbidden, and then you realize what a stupid thing that is to think. Use a bath bomb, you add. Wolf shakes his head. What's a bath bomb? He asks. It's like a fizzy soap thing, you try to explain. You put it in the tub and it kind of explodes in bubble bath and sometimes glitter comes out. Wolf considers it. That sounds like a gigantic mess, he says. Sometimes, you agree. You look at each other for a moment. Neither one of you says anything. You remember, suddenly, a morning in the spring of third grade when he came into school with a hole in the collar of his t-shirt and a bruise the size of a new potato on his cheek. You remember how afraid it made you. Not for Wolf, but of him, like maybe black eyes were catching somehow. The memory makes you feel about 2 inches tall. The police are still shouting Madison's name, doorbell chiming. It reminds you, stupidly, of the Siege of Bastogne, which was part of the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. Lately, when you can't sleep, which is often, you've been reading all the old history books from the shelves in your dad's office, poring over maps and committing battle plans to memory. You still have circles under your eyes the color of overripe eggplants, but you think the chances are good you'll pass the AP US history test at the end of the year. Wolf tilts his head toward the window, listening. Doesn't really sound like they're giving up, huh? You smile, though it isn't actually funny. The Siege of Bastogne lasted for 7 days. Nope, you agree. For an instant, you wonder what might happen if you strolled out onto Madison's lawn right now, waved to the police in the porch light. Hey guys, it's me, your good buddy Haley. Let's all call this off and go home. Your butt is starting to fall asleep on the toilet seat, so you slide to the floor and stick your legs out in front of you, your knees a few inches from Wolf's. He's got his hands folded into his lap, like he's praying. He's got long fingers and round, knobby knuckles, the nails bitten way far down. You imagine them tending an animal or fixing some kind of complicated machinery, which immediately makes you feel like an idiot. God, you must be farther gone than you thought. Your phone chimes again then, insistent. Are you okay? Nicole demands. You can picture them all down in the basement, draped over armchairs and sitting cross-legged on the carpet, stifling giggles in the arms of their hoodies. You used to wonder if Nicole might have a crush on Jay, back when you used to care about things like that. You think she might resent you a little, especially lately, although you know she would never admit it. You think you might resent you if you were her. You switch the phone over to silent and tuck it back under your butt. But when you look up, Wolf is watching you. What are you doing up here? He asks suddenly, in a voice like the thought has just occurred to him that possibly this might be a trick. What? You don't understand the question. Same thing as you're doing, you say. Yeah, but like, why are you up here with me and not downstairs? His face has changed, gotten sharper somehow. I mean, what are you after? What? You say again, stalling for time. You can't tell him the truth, which is that you're up here with him in this bathroom because you cannot bear to be down in the basement with people who know you, because you cannot bear to be anywhere at all. Telling him will break the spell, which is the whole point of being up here to begin with. I'm not after anything. He shakes his head. People like you are always after something. Seriously? Your spine straightens up against the bathroom door. People like me? Wolf shakes his head. You know what I mean. I don't, actually. Suddenly, you're spoiling for a fight. Craving it, even. Lately, everyone is so fucking nice to you. There's a certain dark pleasure in this sudden nastiness. It feels good. It feels normal. And you don't know anything about me. I'm not stupid, Wolf insists, as if you've called him stupid, which you have not. If you're up here with me instead of with them, there's a reason why. Oh, I'm sorry, you snap, drawing yourself up against the door and thrusting your shoulders back, your anger like a fire burning deep in your chest. In one of your dad's books about the Civil War, you read that the only real advantage the North had was industry, that the round-the-clock shoveling of coal into giant roaring furnaces was the only reason the union didn't fall. You think of that sometimes now, when the alarm goes off in the morning and you feel like you can't get out from under the covers. You imagine that you are a munitions factory. You imagine that you are a train. What's wrong with my friends exactly? What? Wolf looks stricken, like he thinks you're about to go completely insane on him here in Madison Campbell's mother's ugly bathroom. It's possible he knows the truth about you, after all. No, I'm not saying anything's wrong with your friends, I just... You didn't seem to have a problem with them when you were tracking your dirty boots all over their houses and drinking their beer, you say snottily. And that's good, you think, with some nasty satisfaction. That's exactly the kind of thing the old you would have said. Back when you were doing that, they were all just fine. Wolf's eyes go hot and injured. I didn't drink anything of theirs, he snaps. His whole body is suddenly made of angles, all shoulders and knees. Me and Jared, we stopped and got beers on the way over here. We aren't freeloading. He sounds so upset that you feel yourself soften. No, I know, you say. I didn't mean, but you did mean a little bit, and both of you know it. You were picking a fight, using him as some kind of messed up scratching post. Your mother would be appalled. Sorry, you say finally, leaning your head back against the door. All the energy has drained out of you at once. That was bitchy. Wolf doesn't contradict you. You don't know anything about me either, he points out. Do you think this is like my dream? Like I've spent my whole life just dying to be stuck in a bathroom at some lame party with you? Princess Haley Adkins? That stings. Not the nickname, God knows you've been called worse, but the idea that he's doing you some kind of favor. You don't want anybody's pity, you never have. A lot of people at school would die for exactly that chance, actually, you retort. Which is more than I can say for you. Wolf blows a breath out, shakes his head a little. Wow, he says, disbelieving. You're kind of exactly as horrible as everybody says you are, huh? So then what the hell are you still doing in here with me? Wolf shrugs. That's a good question, actually, he says, and gets up. See you, Haley. You remember something else then, pulled from the depths of your brain like a slimy scum of seaweed. 7th grade. Piss in Wolf's gym sneakers in the locker room. All the boys hooting gleefully about it down the hall. You didn't piss in them yourself, certainly, but you didn't help him either. You've been thinking that a lot lately. All the teeny tiny choices that can change your entire life. That boy's got enough problems without you adding to them. Wolf, stop. You say, reaching out and grabbing his ankle before you can think better of it. It's warm and surprisingly solid through his jeans. Can you just wait for a second? What are you... Wolf shakes you free, but gently. Why? You sigh loudly, and then you just say it. Because I don't want you to leave. Wolf makes a face at that. Openly skeptical, but he does what you tell him, sitting back down beside you, closer than he was before. He smells like soap and grass and leaves, nothing like you remember from when you were a kid. What? He says, his voice low and flat. You think for a moment. What's your favorite thing? You ask him. About working on the farm. Wolf rolls his eyes. Riding the tractor, he deadpans immediately. Picking my teeth with hay, ma'am. Can you stop, you say, knowing you sound cranky. I'm asking you a sincere question. You're right, I don't know jack all about you, but I'm asking. Wolf exhales loudly. All right, he says, leaning his head back against the door, the skin of his throat pale and exposed. I like sleeping outside in the summer, I guess. My cousin Jared, who I came here with, we camp out most nights instead of staying indoors. And that's what I like. He shrugs. Sorry if it's not farm-specific enough for you. That sounds nice, you lie. Actually, it sounds terrifying, but to be fair, these days you're not exactly a good gauge of what's scary and what's not. You imagine it, staring up at the sky with nobody else around, like if you weren't careful you could fly right off the face of the earth and never be heard from again. So what about you? Wolf asks. He's not mad at you anymore, or at least he's decided not to act like he is. You feel disproportionately relieved. What's your favorite thing about being the queen bee? I'm not the queen bee, you say automatically, which is also a lie, and both of you know it. But part of the power is in never having to admit it out loud. You're the most popular girl in your grade, or at least you were before everything happened. Now you kind of don't know what you are. A curiosity, maybe. Wolf snorts. Okay. You shrug. The truth is that your favorite thing about being popular is being able to control when and how people look at you and what they see when they do. Like you're the curator of a fancy museum and the only exhibit is yourself. The problem is that lately you haven't been able to do it. You've lost control of your own story somehow since everything happened. You can't figure out how to get it back. I like having a lot of friends, you tell him finally. It's a bullshit answer, but Wolf doesn't push. Yeah, he says, putting his hand down beside yours on the cool bathroom tile. That sounds nice too. You look at each other for a minute. You remind yourself that Jay is right downstairs. You and Jay have been dating on and off since last fall, and by all high school metrics, he's a decent to good boyfriend. Lord knows he got more than he bargained for when he asked you out that day by the fountain at Clearview Mall. Still, every once in a while you're talking, you can see that he might as well be on planet Mars for everything he's actually hearing. There is something about Wolf Goshen that makes you think he'd listen for real. Then again, you think, even as your pinky inches closer to Wolf's on the tile. Maybe he wouldn't. You're dimly aware that you're making him up in your mind, even as he's sitting here, like you're writing yourself into a story. You're dimly aware that Wolf is making you up too. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe for as long as you're in here, you can both be whoever you want. You pull your legs up underneath you, look at him through your eyelashes in the dark. It was your dream a little bit though, right? You ask him, smiling a little. To be in here with me. Wolf laughs at that. Are you serious right now? He asks, but he's blushing and you know you've won. You are something else, truly. You're about to tell him he's right. That you are something else, and that something can be his for one night only, when you hear a familiar voice trilling out across the driveway. Jay, she's yelling. Jay Montalto, are you in there? Oh, Jesus. You scramble across the bathroom and peek out the window like a prairie dog, but you already know what you're going to see. It's Jay's mother, a big-haired Italian woman who has hated your guts from the time you started dating her son, and continues to hate them now, which gives you a grudging kind of respect for her. It takes a set of brass balls to be mean to someone like you. Squinting through the screen, you can see a handful of faces you recognize. Jillian's parents and Harper's. Even Nicole's parents' Volvo is parked down the street. Shit, you say, turning back to look at Wolf. Okay, this part has never happened before. They called people's parents. You shrug. Some people's. Wolf looks at you sharply. Fuck, he says, and you think you've alarmed him in the moment before you realize he's talking about his own. Maybe you really are as selfish as he thinks you are. For the first time all night, he looks sincerely afraid. You don't think... No, you tell him, honestly. I don't think anybody would have thought to call yours. Wolf looks reassured by that, though not entirely. No, he echoes. I guess not. You're quiet for another minute. You can't stop staring out the window, even though you know somebody's going to see you. You guess it doesn't matter at this point. You guess none of it really does. Here is what will happen next. You'll go home with Nicole's parents and sleep on the spare bed in Nicole's bedroom, just like you have been for the last 2 months. Because your parents aren't out there waiting for you in the silver SUV you learned to drive on, angry at you for drinking and disrespecting authority, but relieved at the end of the night that you're safe. Your parents are in freshly dug graves at Woodlawn Cemetery, 6 miles from here, where they've been since two drunk juniors from your high school T-boned them on their way home from a dinner at TGI Fridays at the end of the summer. If they were still alive, you like to think they would want you to go out and live your fucking life. Come here, you say, holding your hand out for Wolf in the darkness. Why? He says, getting uncertainly to his feet. Because, you say, letting the non-answer hang there. You have never been the aggressor in a situation like this in your entire life, and you find you do not hate it. Wolf comes closer, cautious. He's taller than you are by nearly a foot. You reach up, put your hand on the back of his warm, shorn head, and kiss him. You don't hate that either, it turns out. He pulls back after a moment, blinking at you. What was that for? Keeping me company, you say, which is sort of the truth. Okay, Wolf says and smiles, kisses you again. He's not a great kisser, unpracticed and a little spitty, but you actually don't care about that at all. There are tiny explosions going off all over your body, like sparks flying up out of a campfire. Wolf puts both hands on your face. You want to stay like this forever, even though you know it's impossible, that it's just a weird stopover, like how during the Revolutionary War the two armies took breaks and had Christmas together, then went back to shooting each other with muskets after the roasts were gone. You aren't sure where you got that fact, actually. You didn't read it in any of your dad's old books, and you don't know if it's true or just something someone made up to make the world seem less brutal. Here in this bathroom with Wolf Goshen, it feels like maybe it could possibly be real. I'm not breaking up with Jay, you blurt finally, your face on fire, your whole body buzzing like a burned out neon sign. It's hot in this bathroom, even with the window open. I can't. I mean, I'm not breaking up with Jay. Wolf laughs at that, a quiet, baffled sound. Jesus, Haley, did you hear me asking you to? He says, but he bends down and kisses you again, then, his hands finding yours by your sides, and you're opening your mouth to tell him maybe he should ask you to. You're actually about to say that when you hear the cops coming through the front door downstairs. Everybody out, a man's voice is yelling. Through the crack under the bathroom door, you can see that the lights have been flipped on in the hallway. Your heart is a siren wailing deep inside your chest. Somebody must have let them in, Wolf says, He's still holding your hands, your fingers twisting absently together. And it's like you both realize it at that same time, letting go too fast. I bet it was that fucking freshman, you say, clearing your throat and pushing your hair behind your ears. You're already thinking about how you're going to make her life a living hell come Monday. There are some benefits to being the queen bee. Haley, Wolf begins, but you hold both your hands up. Suddenly, you know just what he's going to say. Don't, you interrupt, and you're surprised by how steady your voice sounds. You need to remember him as not knowing, even if that's not how he actually is. I mean it. Whatever you're about to say to me, I just really want you not to say it. Wolf looks at you. Okay, he says quietly. Yeah, of course. He wipes his hands on his jeans and blows out the pumpkin candle, motions toward the door. On the other side of it, you can hear people shouting like the goddamn end of the world. You ready? He asks. You won't even see him in school, you realize. By the time he turns up again in January, you'll probably both have forgotten all about this. You swallow down a sour taste, like panic in your mouth. Yep, you say, because there's nothing to be done about it. There's nothing to do about any of it but keep going. I'm ready. Wolf moves aside to let you past him, your shoulders barely brushing. You've got your hand on the doorknob when he changes his mind. Wait, he says then, and Haley. When you turn around to look at him, his eyes are dark and wide. You rest your forehead against his chest for a moment, breathing. Wolf holds very, very still. You can hear the sound of his heartbeat, steady, drowning out the sound of the mayhem raging on the other side of the door.